Hi, this is Dick Staub, and I want to welcome you to Kindling's Muse at Kindling's Fest 2009. Today, some music from singer-songwriter Michael Kelly Blanchard.
You just had a treat then. I've never heard Thomas like that. Wonderful. Except for him. Just marvelous. Thank you. Well, empathy. I think the first thing we need to be is empathetic to ourselves and our decaying frames, or shall we say, shifting. What's the deal with the shifting of body mass as we get older? What is that about? For so many years, it's just a sort of a given. We're just sort of, all of a sudden, it's like a whole bunch of muscles went, "That's it, man, I'm out of here." "You're on your own, Jack. Have fun with gravity." It's not pretty. This is a very sad song. It's in a collection of songs I call Middle Age Woes. Remember, in Matthew, there's a whole collection of woes. There's woe unto's. You know, woe unto the Pharisees, woe unto, so forth. This is not those kind of woes. It's woe. Woe. When I was young and on the run, well, I ate whatever they were having. If it was good and if I could, I'd have me a second helping. I stayed lean on all cuisines, it really didn't matter. Steaks or quiche, grilled or grease, stir-fried or in batter. Mm-mm-mm. Now and then, older friends would warn of dark tomorrows. Get real quiet and whisper, "Diet," like it was a term for sorrow. I couldn't believe, would not conceive, the future they predicted. As they feared, one day in the mirror, I saw I too had become afflicted. I'm a pear. My upper body has gone down there. My middle regions have become a sphere, baby boomers, be aware. Along with the aches and the thinning hair. Oh no, we become pears. Zabba-da-bop. This is pear language. Now, what I did was to keep it hid. Wore sweaters and sports jackets. That looked fine in the wintertime, but by summer, I could not hack it. Bought a new wardrobe for my life as a globe with elastic waist expanders. Hawaiian shirts, big as full-length skirts, look like a tropical Colonel Sanders. On a whim, went to a gym. Ought to work off the extra poundage. On machines run by teens, I felt ugly, old, and roundish. I gave up fats, no this, no that. Had vegetables piled up on the grains. Yeah, healthy, smart, good for the heart. But I'll be hanged if my shape changed. Now I'm still a pear. My upper body is still way down there. My middle regions are still spherish. Baby boomers, be aware. Along with indigestion and the thinning hair, yes, we become pears. Ba-boo-ba-da-bitty. Kind of happy about it, though. Well, now, I'm resigned to my outline, adapting to what life renders. Now no belts cut across my gut. I hold the whole thing up with suspenders. And when my hands have no better plans but to dangle by my side, it may sound funny, but I rest them on my tummy, a built-in free of charge ride. Yeah, that's because I'm a pal. Proud of it. My upper body has decided to take up residence down there. My middle region's, it's a cute little sphere. Baby boom eyes, never fear. There may be nothing left to the Medicare, but they can't have your pair. Mm-mm. It's your pair and it ain't square. No, it's a pair. Mm-mm. It's right there. Where's the pair? It's there. Oh, that pair. Uh-huh. It's there. The pair. Hey, what is the underwear for a pair? Oh, that's easy. Fruit of the Loom. Well, if I'm going to go ahead and have such embarrassing autobiographical songs, I might as well give you another one. Among fellow pears. So it feels like a fruit basket here, doesn't it? This is a story precedes this second and last song. It's autobiographical. When I was about 10 years old, for some reason, probably I was messing up, or maybe there were guilt pangs with my parents. Whatever it was, they decided that I needed to go to religion class. Now, the Catholic church that I went to had religion class at an elementary school across town on Saturday morning. Now, I don't know about you, but that to me feels like cruel and unusual punishment. See, Saturday is the only day you really have off. I'm going to the church the next day. I knew that. So Saturday morning, but there was no, you know, bargaining, nothing. It was fait accompli. So I figured I'm going to make the best of this. And one of the ways I made the best of it was I rode my bike into town, and I went through town to get to the elementary school. And if I feathered it just right, town kind of woke up at 8:30. Some of the stores opened up, and the thing was at 9. So I had a little, about 10, 15 minutes to get to town. I'd have a little bit of time to hang out in my favorite store. Now, my favorite store back then was the Five and Dime. I do some college work, and I've discovered a lot of people don't know what a Five and Dime is. It's not a 7-Eleven, okay. It was a serious store with serious things. But it only had the one thing that I wanted, and this was, again, in the mid-50s. And we had that fledgling new medium called television had just come in. And on television back then, the primary shows were cowboys. There were just tons and tons of westerns. So it didn't go very far. It wouldn't take your imagination very far to figure that my favorite thing was little cowboys, in these cellophane packs. They came cowboy and a horse. Cowboy looked like this. It was stiff plastic, so when you wanted to make them shoot, you had to lean them over. Kind of blow a hole in the moon this way, you know what I'm saying? It swiveled, though. He went around 360 degrees. Looked painful to me. No love handle on that cowboy, though. I'll tell you that right now. He was trim. And he had spats, and he had cowboy boots, and he had a hat, and he had a horse. Of course. And the horse was kind of schizophrenic, kind of messed up. One hoof was stopping, and one was galloping. So what are we going to do? Are we going to gallop, or are we going to stop?
Wilbur.
Okay. Well, it seems silly now, but that was all I ever wanted. I mean, that was it. I had 5 cents. It was 35 cents. So it was a long way away. I would come and just sort of stare at the little bin there. Everything was in bins. Well, one day, one Saturday, on my way to religion class, there in the little guy bin was a little green car that had made it out of the little green car bin, 3 bins down, driven up to the little guy bin, run out of gas, and was lying there panting in the little guy bin. Now, I should point out that I'm not a car guy, wasn't a mechanical sort of guy, and it was a little green car. I didn't like cars. The only sort of vehicles I liked were big Tonka trucks because you could put little guys in them, you see? But there was this little car. It was just a little Disney car. You know, who? So why what possessed me to pick up that little green car and put it in my pocket? I don't know. That's right, 10 years old and already a car thief. I'm going to tell you something, though. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to start a life of crime, don't do it on the way to religion class. No. Or maybe you should, actually. And I was having guilt problems all the way. I went out on the sidewalk, and right away, it's like those cartoons, the little devils, the little devil and the little angel, and they're both vying for my attention. And the little angel is going, "What did you just do? You just stole something. Your parents would never allow you to do that. That's terrible." And so I was feeling bad. But then the little devil was going, "That was so easy. Why didn't you pick up some little guys on the way?" So I went to religion class, feeling miserable already, but hoping for the lady we usually had, wonderful lady, a merciful nun, just loved her. She's always talking about grace and mercy. I thought they were two other nuns, quite frankly. Grace and mercy are going to show up. Wonderful nun. She's just beautiful, and she seemed to know little boys. You know, so she was always forgiving. She, providentially, was ill. And in her stead was the female embodiment of George Patton. This woman came with a little stick. She pushed away all the grace and mercy notes. "We're not going to deal with grace and mercy today. You don't need to hear grace and mercy. We're going to deal with the Ten Commandments." Oh, good. How relevant. And she seemed to avoid all the exotic ones that sort of flushed my parents' faces when I'd ask about them. What about the... Oh, I'll do that later. And she went straight to the source. "Thou shalt not steal." So she was into retribution, in case you did steal. And she said that if you stole something, that was one of them, and that was a biggie. And there's a good chance if you died after doing that. Who's been talking about death? I'm not talking about death. Are you talking? If you died after that, you're going to go to a warm place for a very long time. Well, see, this gray hair started that day. I'm in the back just... And she said, "Oh, and if you don't think you're going to die, there's a new statistic out. Just the other day I read it. That one of you..." We were all sort of, you know, again, 10. "One of you will be dead by the time you graduate from high school." We all know who that's going to be. It's a car thief in the back. He's a donor. So... on my way home, you know, I went home to all the back roads, afraid some semi would lose control and squish me like a bug. Hold up my room, a mess. My brother goes, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." "I'm fine." "Yeah, nothing's fine." "Yeah, okay." So he called in the heavy artillery. My mother. I don't know if you knew this, but it's anatomically true that moms, something happens, and they can see into little boys' hearts. It's just the way it is. They can look right at you and go, they don't know what it is. They can look right into your heart and go. So she came and said, "All right, what's up?" "Nothing. I'm fine. If the cops come, tell them I'm not here." Little clues sending out, Julia. She goes, "All right, come on, come on." I couldn't. I couldn't tell her. You know why I couldn't tell her? Everyone knows why I couldn't tell her. It's one word. Shame. I was ashamed. I was so ashamed. This isn't what I wanted to do, and I don't want to disappoint you. So I couldn't do it. And she was a good mom. She goes, "Okay, all right, got a problem here. I think we're going to start a new thing," she said. And she started it that day. We call it chat. When I say chat, here's the deal. You tell me what it is you've done. Whatever it is. Yeah. And she says, "And here's my promise. I will not get mad." That's a bright mom. Now, also you had to understand, this mom could get mad. When she bit her lower lip, she'd go for a green stick, and man, we hit the road. So I said, "Well, you don't know what it is I did. I mean, if I had done anything, you don't know what it might have been." She said, "You're not listening." I said, "I won't get mad." She said, "Now, I won't promise freedom from consequence, but remember, when you go to the electric chair, you'll know your mother loves you." Okay. She had kind of a macabre sense of humor. Well, that did it. God bless her. That did it. And water ran over the banks, down my cheeks. And I could not say it. I just pointed to the pillow that hid that little diabolical green chassis. She picked it up, saw it, put it in her pocketbook immediately. Now, you may take issue. She didn't march me back to apologize and give it back. She put it in her pocketbook. I think she saw all the cigarette butts and the gray hair, and she knew I'd suffered enough. You know what I'm saying? But she was a wise mom. She was a wise mom. She knew right now is when I've got to hear the major, major trumpet from heaven, the major word from God. And that is, look, no matter what it is you've done, you can't do anything that will somehow exclude you from my love. Come here is what God wants to say. And it's what she said to me through him, his agent. I love you. I do. You bet. There once was a boy who stole him a toy from a bin at the Five and Dime. It wasn't too long before he knew it was wrong and lamented deep down his dark crime. He suffered in silence, ashamed of himself, afraid of the wrath of God. He was convinced he was heading for hell and a life behind bars on this sod. Then his mama come in to his room full of fears, and her eyes said it's time for a chat. And he made his confession in sorrow and tears as she held him so close on her lap and swore she heard angels clap. She said to the little boy, you know, there's nothing so bad you can't confide in me, love. No heartache or lasting regret. Nothing so sad that you've tried to be free of that I won't forgive and forget. 'Cause I love you, I do. I love you, it's true. Yeah, I love you, I do. You bet. One rainy morn, before a baby was born, a wife of 5 years fell apart. Through sobs that just choked, a dam finally broke. She told her husband the ache of her heart. Before I met you, when I was in school, well, I fell mighty hard for this guy. He was trouble, I knew. Friends called me a fool, but I would not let go of the lie. When we finally broke up, I was 3 months along, afraid and ashamed and confused. I borrowed some money. I know it was wrong, but I could not see clear what to do. God knows I'm so sorry. Do you? Oh, darling, come here. Come here. You know there's nothing so bad you can't confide in me, love. No heartache or lasting regret. Nothing so sad that you've tried to be free of that I won't forgive and forget. 'Cause I love you, I do. Yes, I love you, it's true. I love you, I do. You bet. Most of our life we bleed from a knife that cuts from the inside out. Push down the lid, keep those scars hid, act like we haven't a doubt. Now and again, a memory slips in of a moment that filled us with shame, when we could have or should have, in retrospect would have, but didn't. And that's really quite plain. Somewhere on the journey, we need to get quiet and turn off the comfort of noise. Confess what we've done, not try to deny it. To the maker of all girls and boys, and hear him say, as his angels rejoice. And he says it to everyone, everyone in this room, no exceptions. There is nothing so bad you can't confide in me, love. No heartache or lasting regret. Nothing so sad that you've tried to be free of, that I won't forgive and forget. 'Cause I love you, I do. Oh, I love you, it's true. Yes, I love you, I do. You bet.
This is Dick Staub. Thanks for joining us for the Kindlings Muse at Kindlings Fest 2009. Kindlings Fest is an annual event in July on Orcas Island, a celebration of faith, art, and ideas. Go to thekindlings.com for more information about Kindlings Fest or to listen to more podcasts at the Kindlings Muse.